This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
The blessing of Resurrection Day be yours. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to talk about, how the resurrection applies to you and to your children. It's a good day. Jesus is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom, where we proclaim that God wants total well-being for all children. And my name is Sharon Sarles. And we preach the Bible and receive the good news, the blessing, through faith. Let's go to John's Gospel, the 20th chapter and verse 31. It says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ," or the Messiah, "the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Life through his name. That's what we're going to talk about. Now, I realize that sometimes it seems that life is hard, but this is talking about life, capital L, the good life, the kind of life that God intended for us when he created us, put us in the Garden of Eden. Yes, that's right. So, stop believing stories. Right there, I heard a story. Oh, yeah, Garden of Eden, wishful thinking. Real life is bad. Well, that's a story. You need to decide which is the truth. There are contrary stories. Which is going to bring you the good life? These have been written that you might have life, not that we take it away from you, not that you become realistic, but that you have life. Competing stories. Now, you hear me talking about healing on this broadcast. I tell you about the time that my grandson was miraculously healed. I also talk about practical health measures and how they have helped myself, my grandchildren. I try to protect my daughter's privacy. But I hear stories. I was teaching a class in better eating. I was actually convening the class because a national speaker through DVD was actually teaching it. And I heard stories from people in the class. Oh, well, Sharon just has a lot of energy. Yeah, well, wonder why Sharon has a lot of energy. Maybe because she eats right. And exercises a little bit. So they said, no, we know better. Well, they know better to eat bad food. And so they just made the story, well, Sharon has a lot of energy. Similarly, when I continued to affirm healing, and that was a stated doctrine of that church, I heard stories, well, Sharon, how long has it been since you believed this? How long since you read Kenneth Hagin? I said, well, you know what? I didn't learn about healing from Kenneth Hagin, but I first read Kenneth Hagin when I was 14. And I looked up at that time he was walking down the hall because he had hatched a story that I was going to have firm faith in healing only because I had heard about it just a year or two before, and given his experience in praying for people, that people didn't always get healed. So he was going to set me right, a little bit more mature. No, I have believed in healing since I was 10. I was certainly praying for people when I was a teenager. And I am going to tell you here, based on the Word of God, that by his stripes we were healed. That's what it says. That's what I believe. And that is what I see. So you're not going to convince me otherwise. But I do hear other stories. And you know, I like this story because it works. So, Jesus is risen from the dead, but there are contrary stories about that. And this applies to your children and to their problems. Amen. So, let me tell you, I just hear you want to hear about that, okay? A lot of people say, well, you know, Sharon is all about you can fix your kids' troubles, and if they're not doing well in school, they can do well in school, and if they're sick, they can be well, and Sharon's just a cockeyed optimist. Yeah, well, there are some people that say Sharon's a ridiculous pessimist, too. where she just is basing this in her experience. Well, I do tell you about my experience, but one experience does not an argument make. Faith in the grace of the Bible, that an argument makes, but my story is illustration. So you think I just don't know. Let me tell you in that accident. I tell you about the accident where my grandchildren were smashed up. I tell you about how AJ's face bones came back into face shape. I tell you about how AJ, who was slated to be dead, or at least the very best of vegetable, is now on the honor roll. I tell you about his brother, his younger brother. But, you know, I don't say much about the older brother, because the older brother passed and went to be with the Lord in that accident. So it's not because I have not had the difficulties of life. And I have a great and precious promise. So I am going to go back to Matthew and tell you the stories, contrary stories about the resurrection, but let me read to you the true story about how that applies in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, for we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Okay, so if this tent is ripped up, we got a mansion in heaven. That's what Paul is saying. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. All right, so this body has got its flaws. We're looking for that glorified body. Verse 3, if so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given us to us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident. We are always confident. Hallelujah. Knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I remember when I was still in seminary and in my internship, and someone asked me, what does Pastor really think about what happens when we die? Now, you understand this was a mainline denomination, so most of our members were over 65, and here was a person over that age asking me what really happens, because he knows that we were a very erudite group in an erudite denomination and a couple of scholars. What does Pastor really think? So I asked him, because, you know, I was still in seminary, and I knew there were competing stories, and what was a reasonable answer? And this guy I respected. What do you think? He said, this is what I think. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, as says the catechism. That's what the original doctrine of that church said, and this is why. Hallelujah. So, that's what I believe. That's the hope I have. My hope in healing goes beyond the veil. I'm sticking to it. So don't allow yourself the foolish story of, Sharon, whatever. Doesn't matter what Sharon thinks, and that's a complete distraction. What does the Bible say? And if you don't understand, ask to understand. Ask the Lord to understand. And be willing to learn from those who have really learned it. And be careful. Be careful. If you are under a teacher who is purporting to teach you the Word of God and yet is teaching you contrary to the very scripture open in your lap, leave and find another teacher. This is important because there are contrary stories. And there are contrary stories about the resurrection. Let's go to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, in the last chapter, chapter 28. Now, Matthew was written to Jews of that day, people who were conversant with Jewish, with Hebrew scriptures, and who were in that conversation. Whereas Luke was written probably to Romans, Gentiles. So let's read the account of the resurrection. See that there were contrary stories back then. Chapter 28 of Matthew. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. Now remember, there had been a watch, a platoon, I guess you say, of soldiers who were sent there to guard, because they remembered Jesus' prophecy that he would raise again. So they wanted to be sure that no such story got out. And so they sent these soldiers. So that's what we're talking about, the guard. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Right? So these were the people who were frightened as dead men. They go back to their boss. Apparently they were sent by the chief priest. And they showed the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now, you're going to have to give large money to soldiers to say that, because, A, they were derelict in their duty if that happened. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. Right? Because the governor, who's a Roman, he's going to kill Roman soldiers who did that. So, who just were derelict in their duty. So they say, well, we're going to make it right with the governor. Okay. And so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until the day. All right. So there's a story, a competing story, that disciples just came and stole the body. But how realistic is that? There's a huge stone and a guard of Roman soldiers and some fishermen from Galilee who you can tell by the accent. You know, like people talk about Texans in our accent. And so they make fun of us like we're Hayseeds. How likely is that they could steal the body? And how likely is it that body would then walk around and talk? Paul says 500 people saw Jesus. Anyway, not a reasonable story. It's not reasonable. Hallelujah. These things are written that you might have life, but you have to decide which story you're going to believe. And we know how to sort out the truth. Your heart will testify. Yes, I mean, I think it's great to be able to sort out based on testimony, and it's great to sort out based on empiricism, and I think that will work. But reason and empiricism can be subverted by a corrupt heart. So I suggest that you inquire in your heart, inquire of God, and say, God, show me. If you do that, God will show you, because he is a true and a living God. Hallelujah. Jesus is risen from the dead, not just raised, but risen. We don't say raised as historical fact only, but we say risen as historical and continuing. Risen. Jesus is risen from the dead, and these things have been written that ye might have life, and life more abundantly. If this power of God can raise someone who has crucified an excruciating death, that's actually where the word came from, excruciating death, dead and buried 3 days, so clearly dead and not just resuscitated, dead, and hell, went to hell and came back, and then ate fish and directed his disciples and said he would come again. This Jesus, who is sat down at the right hand of God and ever liveth to make intercessions for us, this has real implications for your life today. And my little one will be raised up on that day. My little one is with Jesus today. And I will see him. But for those of us who are alive, that power, that same power that raised Christ from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies. That same wisdom will enliven our minds. That life that brought that body from the dead can live in us. This is the kind of life, and so it's no surprise that it can heal. It can heal us, it can heal our children, and moreover, it can heal our minds. Uncloud minds, unlock tongue, open ears, open eyes, and make brains to work. These things have been written that ye might believe, and believing ye might have life. Jesus was proven to be the Son of God with power through the resurrection. This actually happened in history. This is not simply the myth, a good story. And even if it were, it would be the best story. But it's history also. But it's present also. But it's future also. Hallelujah. It's rooted in the creation story of original blessing. And it is tied up in the telos of the kingdom of God when all things shall be restored and once again will live with God in Christ. Hallelujah. And all things will be perfect. This take a hold of. This take a hold of for yourself. This take a hold of for your children. How do you do that? Okay. This is God's grace to give us the blessing. You're responsible to take it by faith. Because as human beings, you have authority. We've talked about that, how that's given to humans in the creation. So you have to put yourself in line with this kingdom and say, Lord. You see, when you say Lord, you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. Say, Lord, I make Jesus Lord of my life, and I believe you raised him from the dead. I exchange my mess for your life, my death for your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say that to the Lord and mean it, and then you are born again on the authority of Scripture. By the way, if you want to study that, it's in Romans 10. Believe it and say it, and then that comes to pass. Once you have said that, the promise, the covenant applies to you and to your children. So thank the Lord. Thank the Lord and keep thanking the Lord. It will manifest more and more in your life. Align yourself go in line with that king, and that kingdom will manifest in your life. The Garden of Eden, increasingly in your life, and the covenant, the promises for you and for your children. And so you have authority over your minor children, and you can pray for their shalom, for their well-being, their healing, their health, their wholeness. And the covenant is all expressed there in Isaiah 53, that by his stripes we are healed. Yes, he died for our iniquities, but not our sins only, but also for our shalom, our total well-being. So claim that over your children. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord, God of the universe, King of heaven. You reign in our hearts. Thank you for your great and precious and many promises to us. Thank you for life and life abundantly. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, teaching us, modeling for us. Thank you for being there with us through your Spirit. And now I pray blessing on my listener. I pray that they understand the covenant of blessing, that they move in the blessing, that they are children of the kingdom, and that their children manifest the kingdom, that they increase more and more, that the Garden of Eden is more and more seen in their lives, that their bodies are healed, that their minds are strong, that they come into prosperous success, and finally into leadership. Hallelujah. Finally, that we all might be manifest sons of God, bringing grace, blessing, freedom, life to all in our world. We thank you for it. We thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. And we pray to you, Father, in the mighty, matchless, most powerful name of Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Thank you so much for the privilege of opening the word to you, of praying for you. We want to bless you. And you are invited into this project of blessing. You may sow into this blessing. It's an investment for yourself, but it also pays harvest and dividends when you share it with others. So we invite you to receive and believe and participate in the word by giving. You can do that online at www.greatshalom.org. Www, great like big, G-R-E-A-T, and shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M.org. Greatshalom.org. Best word we know for well-being. You can do that online. You can, of course, do that through regular mail. That works quite well. The Great Shalom Broadcast Ministry, Inc. We're a 501c3. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. Once again, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. Thank you so much for those of you who commit to blessing us. Let me just say a word about that. We have some needs we are trusting God for, but let me open to you some of our open doors. Right now, we could be on shortwave radio for $25 an episode. Most of the planet listens over shortwave or phone rather than by a computer. And that's amazing to those of us who live in the United States to think, but there are more people listening by a radio or by a phone, cell phone, than by a computer. We could be on really the best channel for us, shortwave, for $150 an episode. We need to be on satellite. We could do that for $50 to be on at least on a satellite channel. So we could be heard much more easily by many more households around North America. And, of course, the best satellite channel for us would be more than that, about $200 an episode. This is harvest waiting to be taken. We have mothers who are frantic over their children. We have teachers who are bewildered. We have a generation in dire need. We need to get the word out. Please help me do that. Please help the Lord do that, because I am just a servant of the Lord here. We have other technical needs that we know we could do so much better if we had some more help, technical and expertise. And we've got people lined up. In many ways, we need an expanded budget. So if the Lord would so move you, we would appreciate it. Thank you so much.
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630.
Please do come to the website and check out the resources we have for you there. Free offer for the month, book of the month, blogging capability, archived broadcast. Please come and avail yourself. www.greatshalom.org. www.greatshalom.org. And please do write me at info@greatshalom.org. And now I bless you in the name of the Lord. May you live in resurrection life, both you and your children. And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.